Accession number 19095, Reel 2.
Alan Hiscock, Reel 2.
The soldiers of our unit were from warrior races in India, and they were looking forward to going to war, which was part of their whole nature, really. And although when we marched from Roorkee to get the trains to embark at Madras, wives and children were waving and some of them crying, of course, nevertheless, the soldiers did not regard their military service as a burden. It was something which was part of their lives, and their whole upbringing had been in the sense of being part of warrior peoples.
What had conditions been like on the crossing of the Bengal?
Well, it was a very old-fashioned steamship that we went on to, and it took several days to get from Madras to Rangoon, in fact nearly a week, and the conditions on that boat were not exactly the best you could find, because it was overcrowded, and it was a coal-fired boat which deposited smoke and grit everywhere. But nevertheless, it was as satisfactory as could be imagined at that time in the war. And I must say we got to Rangoon with some sense of relief. We could then walk about and be ourselves a bit more than we could on board this this very old-fashioned steamer.
Had you been following what was happening in Southeast Asia?
Yes. We knew what was happening, and we knew of the disasters which were happening in Malaya and Singapore, and we were prepared to have close contact with the Japanese pretty well as soon as we disembarked in Rangoon. In fact, our company was disembarked, and we were eventually made part of the 17th Indian Division, where that field company stayed for many years. The sight of Rangoon when we got there was really quite extraordinary. Shops were looted and all the contents thrown in the road. There were odd shots all the time of soldiers shooting looters, really. And it was a very unpleasant atmosphere. There were a number of dead bodies all over the place. And we were actually billeted in part of the engineering college just in the north of the city. Our unit was engaged in a certain number of demolitions, of course, it was our trade, and eventually we left Rangoon itself and marched up the road several miles, and found ourselves together with great number of other units. We found we were blocked ahead by a Japanese roadblock, which of course was one of the trademarks of the Japanese army in those days, that if they found that the people they were fighting, in this case our 17th Division, They made roadblock after roadblock, and the great problem was to break through these roadblocks and go forward. In our case, going forward meant going north towards Mandalay. And of course, there was quite severe fighting around the roadblocks. We didn't actually lose any men out of our unit, but some infantry units were very badly mauled. One must remember that at this time that Rangoon was beginning to be evacuated, or was evacuated, there had been a very heavy problem on the Satang Bridge, which late in February had been demolished before all the troops had got across onto the West Bank. And that, of course, caused a certain amount of disorganisation in many units. And those of us who arrived in Rangoon later were, of course, in better shape. And, of course, it took quite a long time to reorganise the various units and brigades to get them ready in a fit state to fight the Japanese again. It was very interesting to see how quickly some units were reorganised, and at the same time some units had been really badly mauled, and I think that some of them never really recovered for many months, never really recovered their spirit. The whole nature of the war with the Japanese at that time was to retreat northwards and to leave Rangoon, and so gradually the retreating army became, as I say, better organized and began to get its act together a bit better. Nevertheless, some of the troops who had come with us into Rangoon from Madras stood a better chance of being able to cope with the war itself. The
What was the condition of the Burmese civilians at this time in March 1942?
Well, there were two aspects to that. Firstly, of course, there were the very large numbers of Indians who had been living in Rangoon and in Lower Burma. These people had the most terrible time. And as we retreated northwards, then many more Indian refugees came along with us. And many died on the way of cholera and all kinds of disease. And many were attacked by Burmese dacoits. And the state of the Indian people getting out of Rangoon and going northwards and getting out from other cities in Burma was something I shall never forget. It was the most appalling hardship for these poor people. And I think that the unhappiness and wretched conditions for these poor Indian people was much worse than anything we have recently seen in Yugoslavia. And I think none of us will ever forget the awful condition of these poor people. But many of them managed to survive and eventually got into Tamu and into the Imphal Plain, where there was some assistance for them. Not very much.
Was the Indian Army able to give any assistance to refugees?
Yes, they did. But of course, they had a problem looking after themselves as well. But wherever possible, people did help, and a lot of assistance was given in the way of food and water and so on. But of course, the whole catastrophe was so enormous that, as I said a moment ago, the hardship and the illness and general deprivation of these poor people was something absolutely awful. And their bodies lying by the side of the road was something absolutely appalling to see. And of course the attack by vultures was something absolutely appalling. The vultures actually attacked these poor people while they were dying. And I don't think I shall ever forget that. However, returning to...
Could I ask you what the attitude of Burmese people was towards Indians?
Ah, not good. The Burmese people were, in general, not very friendly towards the Indian population. And I think they regarded the influx of Indian people as something brought about by the British, which it was, of course, in many senses. And there's not a shadow of doubt that there was a great deal of antagonism shown by Burmans and Burmese to the Indian population.
How were Burmese faring at this time?
Well, the Burmese were not faring well, and the general upset caused by the war and destruction by their towns by bombing and so on was not at all happy for the Burmese. On the other hand, by that time there was some movement, political movement of course, to have support for the Japanese invaders, and there was a great deal of recruitment of Burmese to fight for the Japanese against the British. And of course this was led by a number of people, including Aung San, and although he later changed sides and of course was subsequently assassinated, there was a great deal of bad feeling between certain sections of the Burmese population and the British Indian Army. Indeed, there were quite considerable units which had been recruited and set up by the Japanese to fight on their side. course, not only Burmese units, but there was the Indian National Army as well, which was recruited from many Indian people who were captured in Singapore and in Malaya. That, however, is another tale.
Were you involved in any fighting on the retreat?
Yes, we were. And our unit was very often the last to leave a particular place, and the last minute demolitions were always carried out by engineers, of course, and we lost a certain number of men through the campaign due to that. And of course, it's not a very easy thing to demolish bridges and so on in a retreat, although that's when you normally do demolish things, because as you stick gelignite onto bridge girders and somebody is sniping at you from the other side, and if they hit the gelignite, you're blown up with the bridge too. So that was not a very easy thing to do. But nevertheless, we had a number of very successful demolitions, and we had some of our Indian soldiers were very gallant, and some were decorated, of course.
What else were you demolishing apart from bridges?
Well, power stations and bridges over the railway and over the road, and a certain number of water supply installations were demolished as well. But as we went north, then the type of battle changed. Early in the war, there was a great deal of fighting as the Japanese advanced into Lower Burma, and there was a great deal of fighting in forests and jungles. And later, as we went north into the central plain of Burma, of course, it gave an opportunity for our tanks that we had to display their power, and gradually as we went north, then it was interesting to see the change of climatic conditions affected the type of warfare that was carried out.
When you were effecting a demolition, would you have a screen of infantry to help you?
In some cases, yes. In some cases we did, and in some cases you were just there on your own. Nevertheless, the general intention was always that there should be a screen of infantry. And of course there were one or two occasions where, due to some misunderstanding, we blew up a bridge a bit too quickly, straight under the orders of the general, of course. But I remember to this day, we demolished a bridge up near Mandalay, and the second in command of the Hussars, the 7th Hussars, was very cross, because he alleged that we'd blown it too early, which wasn't true, in fact. But nevertheless, many years, about 10 years later, I was serving as an instructor at the Royal Armoured Corps School at Bovington, and who should be there but the same major, now a brigadier. And as soon as he realised who I was, I got an earful quite often. But we buried the hatchet eventually.
Was that because some of the Hussars were left on the other side?
Yes, it was But it was exaggerated, really. But it was entirely entirely fortuitous that we got at loggerheads over this. Well, we became friends in the end.
But you were taking losses to your Bengal sappers and liners?
I beg your pardon?
You were taking losses, casualties.
Oh, we took some, yes. We had a certain number all through the campaign. Odd losses, not here, odd losses. Single, we'd lost several people. One or two other ranks and NCOs and officers all through the campaign. But the discipline of our unit was very good throughout, and its organization and discipline and everything was in very, very good order. And so we didn't suffer any problems of people doing stupid things and not obeying orders. It was right until the very end. It was very tightly disciplined, and that saved a great number of lives. So we owed a great deal to our CROC.
Were you leaving equipment behind?
We kept all our equipment until the very final stages, as we retreated northwards and eventually got to the Chindwin. Then, of course, it was very difficult to take our equipment over the Chindwin when in the middle of the battle and so on. But in fact, we never lost a single piece of armament. We never lost a rifle or a machine gun or anything like that. But we did, unfortunately, have to leave one or two things behind, which we blew up and burnt before we finally crossed the Chindwin at Sui Jin, which, of course, is at the very end of the retreat into Burma.
Were you always travelling by lorry?
We marched a great deal of that way. We didn't travel by lorry very much. And I think we went most of the 650 miles on foot. Occasionally carried a lift, but of course it was more important to have stores and equipment saved than it was to stop people having to march. But
was there any air activity at this stage?
Well, funnily enough, the Japanese Air Force was quite active. But the Royal Air Force, after initial support in the south of Rangoon, in Tenasserim, the Royal Air Force really paid no part. And we were constantly strafed by Japanese fighters. I remember marching north of Rangoon, and I had a charger in those days. Mm-hmm. So one of the worst things you can imagine is to be marching, to be mounted on a charger, going up a road with Japanese Zero fighters going along the road, machine gunning what was on the road. So we soon decided that riding on chargers was not a very good idea.
Did you have any narrow escapes from capture or death?
Well, the normal narrow escapes of not being hit by bullets and bombs and so on. And that was a narrow escape until we'd learned better going up a road riding a horse. That was the stupidest thing ever. Nevertheless, we were partly animal transport, and we had mules and some horses and some trucks. And the mules, of course, were extremely valuable in going into the jungle areas and up tracks and so forth, where you couldn't possibly drive a truck. And a great deal of Burma is undrivable, or was in those days, and so one is very dependent on animal transport. at various times. And we were, of course, very dependent on mule transport to carry tools and explosives and so on with us.
What was the most difficult part of the journey?
I think the most difficult time was when we got up onto the Chindwin and had to cross the Chindwin to get into India over the hills to Tamu and Palail. And the problem of getting troops and equipment across the river under quite severe Japanese attack was something which was very difficult. And we were very fortunate, really, not to lose very many people then. Indeed, the whole organization of the Burma Army to cross the Chindwin in the final stages was really quite well carried out. And a certain number of river steamers kept crossing until the crew decided that it was too hot for them and had to give up, because there were a great number of Irrawaddy flotilla steamers about still. But of course, under Japanese attack, it's not very easy to maintain a series of large paddler steamers getting across the river like the Chindwin. So, really, the most difficult period where we found ourselves really like orphans, if you will, was after the crossing of the Chindwin, and the rains had started just about then, and we got over into Imphal, over the mountains, and there was nothing. We were shown a place in the jungle where we were supposed to sit and live, and we had no tents, we had very little cooking apparatus, very little food or anything. And of course it took a little time for the Indian authorities and the Indian army to welcome the retreating army and to help it reorganize so that it would continue the fight against the Japanese. And of course this was achieved, and once we got onto the Imphal plain, then we were reorganized and re-equipped, and I personally stayed in that area in the first stage until the end of 1943, engaged in